Good morning, Patriots. It is Saturday, June 19th, the day before Father's Day. So for those of you that are out here getting ready to celebrate a Father's Day weekend, God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. And we'll do tomorrow's show dedicated to fathers, but today as well in a different way. You can always, don't forget Father's Day. I'm going to pitch it. You know, it's coming. Here it comes, my pillow. Don't forget to get some my slippers for your father, for your husband. You need to have my slippers if you're going to be part of that slipper revolution, which you know is going to happen at Bart's Fest. So get on over to my pillow. Get some my pillows, some my slippers, some my sheets. Make it a happy Father's Day. You can use the Bards code B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And you can do that with just going to mypillow.com. Click on the radio box that's down the way on the page. Go down there, put in the Bards code B-A-R-D-S and get all sorts of savings. On the 27th of August at the Bards Fest, which is the 26th to the 29th of August, but on the 27th is the day that Mike Lindell speaks. And that's the day we're going to celebrate the slipper revolution. So you want to arm your family with slippers. Get them all prepared. So get yourself a pair of my slippers and everything else you need, like pillows and sheets. But I wouldn't bring sheets to the Bards Fest. Probably not a good idea. But slippers, yes, do that. So get on over to my pillow, grab yourself some my slippers, some other great things. Use the Bards code B-A-R-D-S. And that's mypillow.com, and away you go. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. One of the things that has fallen under massive assault in our entire lifetime, but probably now no greater assault than what goes on right now, is the family. And it's something we all have to reflect upon. This is really a time for healing. And it's a difficult time because we are also in the midst of so much division. And division isn't just political. This is now almost an ideological division between those that have accepted the jab and those that have not. And sadly, that sort of division doesn't heal easily. And where we're going, it's not going to allow that division to heal easily. I don't like to be the speaker of doom, especially with when it comes to futures that are unwritten. The problem is that the future that we're talking about, this unwritten, is increasingly scientifically sound in its science, in the real sense of science research, not in sense of the cabal's temple of science where you're supposed to obey. The cabal's sense of science is that you're going to trust us in whatever we tell you, whatever we determine to be good for you, you will agree. Whatever outcomes our scientists have determined are what you are to believe. Do not question. Real sense of science, obviously, is a sense of questioning. It's research. It's taking each step based on hypothesis and then testing those hypotheses to find a conclusion, accepting through that process that there's changes, there's errors. And it's a constant growth of knowledge to verification, which means science itself is not fixed. Well, obviously, where we sit right now are the two worlds. science of that type that explores and questions actually works quite well with faith, because it seeks, and it also embraces principles of God, of things that can't always be accounted for. But it gets to a place where it is constantly, well, it's always, always questioning and seeking. And that's, and God gave us a mind to seek, gave us a mind to ask questions, always centering back on our love with Him. In the other side, it's obedience. So right now, in the terms of the families, one of the biggest challenges we have is this division that has been happening, and we all have experienced it. I would say majority of people in the world now have experienced this division based on the jab. And I would also argue there are very few families left intact where they are not in one way or another affected by somebody in the family taking the jab and somebody not. It's a pretty heavy thought when you think about it. Because if what we're being told comes to be true, which sadly has high probability of happening, an increasingly high probability of happening, anybody who took the jab is going to be facing some sort of malady. And that means that most families are going to suffer some sort of loss or struggling with that place of someone becoming sick and possibly damaged. Those are fairly humbling thoughts when you think about families and the unity that families should represent. But as moments like this can offer, darkness can offer light. And it's really there that we have to find our strength in, through prayer and through our relationship with God. And it goes back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Let us not forget the power of love and the enduring nature of love. Some of these divisions that have happened around the shot are just simply ideological, or seen perhaps less as ideological, but differences in position, meaning you still get along. And that's good, because that's an easy one to heal. Others, however, are much more challenging, because they are rifts that are based on an ideological framework to where people absolutely can't agree and can't hear. As we stand with God and we stand with this place of outside of accepting the injection, there's a certain foundation of logic that we all have, and wisdom that comes from that, of just trusting in our faith. And that's powerful. It's hard to appreciate when you're standing there the fear that consumes people and drives them to doing irrational things. And at the end of the day, most people who took the jab took it from a motivation of fear. I said most, not all, but most. And that fear was a fear of losing something, fear of not getting access, fear of not being part of friends, fear of a virus that they didn't understand. Fear was a motivator and has left them blind. But when we get to a time like this, it's also important that we, as a community, as a remnant, do what we can. And one of the most powerful things we can do is through prayer, to pray for the healing of the family. God has an amazing way He does things. And even at the point of what seems to be the impossible moment of recovery, something is given. There's usually some sort of kernel of hope or some sort of massive gift if we know how to reach it and find it. In the moments of greatest despair are the moments that we can find God most clearly. And it's there that many who are not even aware discover God because they have nothing else to cling on to. The systems that we are around right now are failing us, and they are failing all over the world. And I have struggled, and even last night, a lot in prayer, I was struggling with this idea that we have really been set up to such a degree as a world that we're going to see a devastation of humanity to such a magnitude. And again, it's easier, much easier to go to a place of a romantic kind of Cinderella ending than it is to face a harsh reality that that just may be the case. And it's not a place that I can predict. We can only go again by the research that's pointing that way, and the research is dark. Our greatest strength right now is to just keep our prayers focused on bridging differences and enjoying what we have in terms of time. And I think this gets back relatively to this place that we all should be anyway. Part of what we're anticipating is a coming of the collapse of time, the end of people's lives, the looming potential death, and suddenly it's put before us that by taking the jab, they have changed their expiration date, if you will, their duration on Earth. I believe most of that's true. And when I say that, it's not that I question any of the research of the doctors, it's that there's so many factors involved in this other than just science. Part of those factors are the reality that we, as a people, through prayer and faith, have the control to shape destiny. We were given that. We can move a mountain from here to there. And whatever that looks like in the physical realm versus the spiritual realm will show itself in the coming months and years. But we do have the ability to heal souls, to pray for souls, and to bridge the differences that are between us, at least in our heart and with our relationship with God. So in this time right now when we don't know an end, and ironically, we never have known our end. I think what's really struck most of us is we've been reminded of our mortality. And that's a good thing. We stop taking for granted what God gave us and stop taking for granted life. And we start focusing on what's before us and enjoying every moment. I would encourage everyone to take... I would encourage everyone to take the time to pray and to embrace the moments that are before us and before you. Not to be worried about what's coming. We can't control it anyway. And whatever decisions were made are decisions of a destiny that is not in our control because they are an individual's choice. However, God chooses to make to use that choice rests largely with him. The jab is the focal point that we can point to something, an agent that each person has the ability or had the ability to decide whether to put in their body or not. But in a certain sense, it is no different and getting behind the driver's wheel of a car and deciding to drive outside onto the freeway or not. And I use this as an important point. If someone in your family drives out into the freeway and gets in an accident and dies, it's a loss. But we don't consider it as a choice. We consider it as a random event. And yet it was a choice. It was a choice that they made on that day to get behind the car and to drive. The shot is on a larger scale. There's many motives behind it that we're focusing on, and they're correct. The motives of getting a shot, what they've done, etc. But now it's done. And we don't know where what's going to happen next for sure, or when or how. So instead of spending as much time on the weight of the decision that was made, we should be spending what time we have on the blessings of who is still around us. Life has always been seemingly random to us, meaning that we don't have a control over our ends. And even now we don't have that control. We're told that those who take the shot have shortened their lifespan, that there is a 1 to 3 year window that most will be affected in that period of time. All of that may very well be true. We don't know the extent of what the damage is. We know that what we're seeing is significant, and what the potential ramifications of the shot are to the global population are significant. So it's almost like we've been given a glimpse of the future, but we're not equipped to handle the future. We never have been. And the problem with the future, and there's, if you've ever read prophecy by many, they always end up in the same place. This is an interesting point to keep in mind. Whoever does prophecy always ends up in a story of fire and death. Always. It'll start out fine, but the farther they go down prophecy, they always end up in some story of fire and death. And it's, in my opinion, it's because we're not equipped, nor were we intended to see the future. So let's keep that in our hearts, because what stands before us is a moment of change for humanity. And in this moment of time, God needs to bring his children home. And there are many, many that are walking away from God, have walked away from God, have rejected God, have foolishly put their worship in fear and in the institutions that have made fear, that are now offering the solution, problem, reaction, solution. Sadly, there's many people that just can't see that. They're either not prepared to see the truth, or they're afraid to see the truth. Or worse, they've so completely rejected God in their life that they see what they're doing as the correct and only way forward. So that puts us in a very powerful and very unique place. It's a place for us to pray for healing and to lead with healing, and healing in a different sense. I don't know if anything can be done to correct the decisions that were made with the shot. And I, for one, am not fully optimistic, though I do believe that whatever's happening here is at a level that God can control and God needs. No matter what the physical loss is for us, God needs his way of bringing his children in a spiritual level at least home. And that's something that, first of all, to keep in mind, is that we cling on to the physical life way too much. And in so doing, in the physical realm, we become attached to the physical existence as if that's all it is. When God talks about bringing his flocks back to him, we immediately assume that that's a physical existence. And we seldom reflect deeply that God is most probably and very possibly bringing back the spiritual sense of his flock. Whatever the physical is the transient state we're in right now. So in this time that we have, let us cherish the moments that are before us. Let us work through prayer to heal those bridges, those differences that have happened in families. Let us focus on what time we have. Shot or no shot, we don't know what our clock is on this earth. And if anything, the shot should remind us about that. The injection should remind us that our destinies are not ours to determine. They were predetermined by God. We have to, on one hand, and this is the challenging part with the jabbed, we have to be aware that there are, at least from what we're learning, potential consequences of being in contact with those that were jabbed. That's your choice of how you choose to protect yourself and go about that. But from a prayer point of view, from a spiritual point of view, from a walk in faith, there's no question that we can keep in our heart the place of healing and rebuilding bridges. Sometimes it's easier to have a conversation on a phone than perhaps face to face. That's okay too. But it's more important above all that we keep in our heart that loving place to heal and to continue to love and have that faith for the differences that have divided families. We have to see the family strength return. And of all the tasks that lie ahead in rebuilding this nation, that one will be the greatest. It's going to be the challenge in this world of us letting go of all the material nonsense. It's going to be a place where we have to work to rebuild the values and teachings of our children. We have to reset the teachings of God in our families, to revalue what God is in our lives. Those are the principal foundations that we have to continue to work on to rebuild one of the key pillars of what a society needs. We can't continue as a society to be living with broken families. And we can't continue as a society living with families led by one parent and not two. We can't continue as a society accepting the upside down values of same-sex marriages and families. It's not as things are intended. We're trying to run ahead. We're trying to run into the train that's coming right at us and expecting everything to be okay. And that train's moving. Our biggest challenge in the end of the day for all this culture, for the new republic, whatever it is not business. It's not getting rid of the cabal. This whole thing is going to center on a principal foundational pillar, which is, can we reestablish the value in families, the strength in the family, and the love for children? If we can't, in the end, no matter how great we may be in our love for God, as a society, we will fall. It's that simple. You can't have a society that does not have the strength in family, that does not cherish its children, and that does not put its belief in God's center in all things. So let us, on this weekend, Father's Weekend, let us pray for the fathers, for the strength in fathers, for the strength in the family, for the unity of family, and the return of fathers to the families. The system has sought ravaging attacks on families, and it has done a good job. And one of the most effective weapons it has launched to date has been this injection. And it's going to cause a lot more damage to come, one way or another. Just from that position of those who accepted it and those who have not, that is a difference, a deep division, a deep belief division of how a family is operating. And there's going to be some very strong rifts that occur there. So again, let us walk in that place of faith to pray for the healing of those differences, to pray for the clarity of the walk that we have before us. We have to get back to the place of God at the center of the family. And when we do, a lot of these differences fall away. How we get there is really in God's hands, as long as we're true to that walk and true to our faith. And as we know, God works in amazing ways. What may seem as impossible is always possible for God. What we can't do is ever lose our faith in thinking that it is impossible to heal the family. It is a big mountain. This one is as big a mountain to climb as we've ever had. But it can be accomplished. It can be achieved. And it's going to center on our center belief and faith in God and our effort and focus on healing the family and restoring it to the form and function as God intended. If anything, on this Father's Day weekend, I would say that would be the greatest focus and gift that we could give the Lord, is our humbleness before Him to pray for these our families, to pray for our children, and pray for the strength of the father in the family. To pray for an awakening of dads, of fathers across the globe, to reclaim their position in the family as a spiritual leader, to replace anger with love, to teach godliness in the family, to humble themselves before God, and to be what God intended fathers to be. To put the ego aside, to put the weakness aside, to stand and to be what God intended a father to be. And to listen to Him for the wisdom needed to be that strength and pillar in a family that was intended. This is a big shift for the world if that can happen. But if there's a prayer to be given on this weekend, it's the prayer for the strength and reclaiming of the position of the father in the family as a loving, patient, kind, leader and spiritual guide within the family that's respectful to his wife, dutiful to his wife and children, and humbled before God to build a family that God would smile upon and bless. Some are walking that path, many are not. And so it's going to take the prayers of all to give all fathers that strength. And it's going to take the community which we have in this world to help those that don't walk that path to claim that and reclaim that position as needed. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this weekend, where we celebrate the fathers, let us pray for the fathers, for the strength and guidance that only you can give, to give the wisdom to fathers to stand and to powerfully be in the place of the role of father, to find that that role of father is the greatest role, the honored role in society. Not one that is taken frivolously and cast away. We pray for the humility of all dads to lead their families with grace, to lead their families with love, and to feel the strength and love and wisdom that you provide each, and let them hear that, Lord, with ears to hear. Let them see that path ahead with eyes to see. And let them find that glory and power that sits within a realm where they sit with you in their heart, lead their families with you in their heart, and give strength like only a father can give. Let the fathers of this world return to the place of honor where they cherish their children in a deep way. Let the blessings that you've given to fathers awaken in all of men's hearts to be compassionate, to be vulnerable where need with you, to be honest in their hearts in front of you, and yet to be strong and stand unwavering. Let this place be where decisions are made not by fear or motivated by selfish interests, but all decisions are always moved through you, Father, moved through you to a place where our fathers listen to your guidance, hear your guidance, and embrace the love and the healing that only Christ can bring. Let the families be healed. Let the fathers rise. Heal these families, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And may the blood of Christ heal the wounds that are deep within families and the rifts that have scattered them apart. Let society, let our culture, let our country once again raise up that value of the importance of family, not broken families, not accepting that as normal. Not families that are composed of systems that are not natural, but instead to raise up the family as you intended, to value it once again, to give strength and footing to a country, to a nation, with fathers once again assuming their place as the head and the lead of the family, with the wisdom, the patience, the temperance, and the grace that only you can give. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's a great weekend to celebrate fathers. There are many amazing fathers in this country and in this world. And I hope that none of this I've said this morning is in a way that defames or diminishes those greatnesses of fathers that are there. In this case, we have to pray for all fathers. There are many that are not so fortunate as to be blessed with that grace or hearing of the Lord in their lives. And it's important that we reclaim that. In such a time as this, when so much division has become normal, where so much of the strength of the father has been taken away. Part of these prayers as well are focused at the wives and the women to be able to accept the role of the father to return to the family. This is something we're all in together. It's something that as a society and as a culture, we have a lot of work to do. And in these times of chaos and challenge, there's no better time to pray for healing and reclaiming those positions than when it seems most impossible to grasp. Because that's when the Lord works his greatest work. So let us celebrate fathers. Let us celebrate the gift of fathers as the Lord gave us And let us pray for all fathers that they may hold that position as the Lord intended, hear the wisdom that the Lord provides, and walk with God in their heart for all that they bring to their families. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. This is an amazing time in which we live, that as we continue to press in with prayer and we raise prayer in this world, we raise the ability to do amazing things, not as one, but as the many. As we speak to God boldly with our hearts, God listens. He is with us. He's never forsaken us. And in this process, we literally are transforming the world. The remnant is real. The remnant is God's army. It's also God's church. Let us not forget the importance of the role that we carry and why these sorts of things of praying for fathers or praying for families are so important, because it's through prayer, through humility, and through supplication that we can quite literally transform the world, because in the end, it's God's world and God will always win. Have a very blessed Saturday. I hope you have time with your family and your dads, however that forms out. But let us praise the fathers for as who they are, whoever they are. Let us pray for the fathers, whoever they are. I will see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. Revival.